Alrighty, everybody, welcome to All Talk, All Ashes, the podcast that covers everything Ashes of Creation related. My name is Ferenczi. I am the MMO variety guy who's played a million MMOs, and I am joined by my brother, Subjective.
WoW veteran here, hello.
WoW veteran, and purpose of our podcast here, if you're not familiar, if you're new, if you're just joining, is to really just kind of dig into Ashes of Creation. There's so much information out there through dev streams, conversations, quotes, and really just kind of provide some information and kind of look at the upcoming features and all the things that are kind of coming into Ashes. And yeah, just kind of talk about it and dig in and hopefully give you some good information in the process. This week, we're kind of digging into, I think, something that I know I'm certainly excited for. I think you might be as well, Sub, but looking at player housing and kind of some of the related systems to player housing. And so we'll kind of dig into that. If you're not familiar, in Ashes of Creation, there is player housing system that's broken down into essentially four different types of housing. We have apartments, freeholds, inns, static housing, and they kind of each offer their own like benefits or drawbacks potentially. We're going to dig into a little bit for the first three, apartments, inns, and static housing. That should go fairly quickly. There's not quite as much information on all these topics. And then we're going to dig into freeholds, which is kind of like the big one, where you get to kind of put down land and you can put a lot of different things on that territory and that land. So we're going to kick it off with inns. Inns are public houses that come pre-built in nodes. Inns grant offer players option to rent space where they can put storage and furniture. Inns will be the most common type of player housing available. And so kind of an interesting idea that this is going to be the most commonly available. And the fact that they use the word rental is kind of interesting. I assume this might mean maybe that there's like a lot of turnover. Like if people don't pay their rent, then maybe they lose that space. I don't know if their stuff gets kind of put back into like their inventory or what happens there. But yeah, kind of interesting how inns will be, I guess, be the main source of where players can actually store things and maybe some furniture.
Yeah, it's really interesting idea because, you know, in a sandbox MMO, you're going to have limited space for housing. So this is one cool way, I guess, throw a little bit of housing at people who may not be able to meet the rush or be able to afford a freehold. But one thing I'm really curious is will players be able to own an inn? So like, if they own an inn or build an inn, can they rent it out for income to other players, maybe as a type of competition? So, or is it just going to be controlled by the server? So, I mean, like I said, there's not much info on inns right now. So I'm really interested to see what they do with this system in the long term.
Yeah, definitely. I know on freeholds, you can put down taverns. Sometimes tavern inns are, you know, loosely related in fantasy. So maybe there will be options like that. I think it would be really cool, you know, if players, you know, if they like have a freehold and they want to throw down like an inn, you know, maybe it's a way that you can kind of generate some consistent money and, you know, things like that would be really, I think that would be really cool. And just, you know, running an inn and like, you know, having players there and kind of interacting with people would be a lot of fun. But that's really inns. Honestly, there really wasn't too much information on it. Again, probably the most commonly, you know, found housing for players. Hopefully a lot of people will be able to access inns, even if they maybe can't afford some of the other housing, like apartments, you know, freeholds, things like that. But hopefully at the very least, it sounds like it's going to offer you some additional storage, furniture, which again, we're not digging into too much today, but furniture can also have mechanical benefits beyond just, you know, looking cool. So maybe, you know, players will, you know, that maybe don't play as much or maybe a little bit more casual, they'll kind of, you know, rely on inns going forward. So after inns, kind of, I would say the next step up is static housing, which offers non-instance accommodations in a node. Players can purchase a room from a cottage. Owning a static house will grant node citizenship. Static housing has quite a few benefits as well beyond that, such as, you know, constructing small gardens as well as having crafting benches. Static housing size will scale as well with the node size. So you could start off with maybe like a smaller kind of housing through static housing and then potentially get the option for bigger options as the node grows and levels up. I think this is definitely kind of a step up from the inn, which sounds like it's more going to be like, you might have a rental, maybe you can like store some stuff, have some furniture. This seems like it's actually going to let you do maybe some like, farming, whether it's through those small gardens. Again, you'll get a chance to do some crafting by having crafting benches, which is, again, probably going to be really convenient if you do have static housing. So I think that sounds pretty good. I kind of like that maybe there is kind of like a, I don't know, maybe not like a tier system, but like, maybe you start off with an inn, and if you play a lot, then maybe you get into static housing potentially. So it all sounds kind of interesting to me, and I like kind of like the way that it's kind of its own progression system as well, which sounds pretty fun, to be honest.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. So it sounds like static housing, it's just pre-built houses. Am I wrong on that?
I think so, like pre-built housing kind of within each node, it sounds like.
Okay, so I'm not sure if the node owner places these houses and then rents them out. I guess I don't really... So a lot to be known here, but this is kind of a cool idea because then you could just have like... Maybe you want to get a house, but you don't want to go through all the, bells and whistles of, picking where it goes and maybe even decorating it. Maybe they could sell pre-decorated houses. I mean, maybe you want some customization, but maybe you just don't want to go that crazy with it, which I think is almost kind of like the inn, which is, the bare bones housing, I guess. And this takes it up to the next level where it's a little more customizable, more depth, more, a little more player control, but maybe not as crazy as someone who wants, I'm trying to think of a game like Sims 4, the level of depth in their house. And it's like, it's kind of like more like Palea, I guess. You can build your house and stuff, but actually, I wouldn't even call it Palea. It's more like, I don't know, it's just like housing, but, more, a little more on rails.
Yeah,
which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I definitely think it's, like a little bit, it's a step up for sure. Inns maybe are going to be geared, I don't know, like not played, obviously, but, inns sound maybe a little bit more geared towards like the casual player, maybe the more infrequent player. Like, so you can have your storage, you can have some furniture and all those things in there. But I think like static housing is maybe going to be the next step up. One thing that we don't know, we're kind of going to get to this a little bit with freeholds, but I don't think there's any exact numbers. I would really love to see based on this, assuming every player is going to have like, or maybe every player, I know they've kind of talked about, maybe not every player will have access to like housing in some shape or form, but of the players that are going to have access to housing, like how many are probably going to be, in inns, how many are going to be in static housing apartments, so on and so forth. So I'll kind of be interested to see how it all plays out and in terms of like how it's all divvied up. And, but I do think static housing sounds pretty interesting because, maybe this is something I would end up with. Where, I can do a little bit of farming with like the gardens, but also have my crafting benches, and kind of, going from there, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like, housing, but a little more for people who don't have as much time, maybe they just want a quick house and a couple of benches and do some, casual farming and then go off on their day or whatever they do in the game. Maybe they like PvE and they just, housing's kind of like an afterthought to them, but they kind of want it.
Yeah. It still gives you a little bit of the taste of like, being able to have crafting and crafting benches and maybe grow some things or, through in these gardens, but, not quite the full step up to potentially apartments, which we're going to dig into a little bit, as well as freeholds. Villages offer up to 50 rental apartments. More apartments can be added at a higher level node stage. There will be different types of apartment types at various costs as well. So maybe there's kind of like a basic apartment, and maybe there's like a penthouse apartment. I think I saw some mention of different types in that way. Apartments will offer benefits such as citizenship. Again, you can also have like pots to grow plants and furniture items as well. And it'll have, and I think all housing does have some level of a permission system, which I hadn't really mentioned beforehand, but you'll kind of be able to manage and allow other people to have access to your housing through kind of like a permission system, and you can add more people, whether it's through marriages and family and things like that, which actually sounds pretty interesting. You know, if housing, you know, is going to be a little bit more limited, if apartments are going to be more limited, then being able to add people and kind of give them access to, I think, is going to be really important as well on top of that. But
yeah, apartments, again, there's not a lot of info on it. It sounds like a mass way to get people into some sort of customizable housing system without, you know, visual clutter all over the world. Because, you know, you can only... The game can only, there's only so much land, so apartments are a good way of countering that, because this is instanced, it's your own apartment, and it will be, you know, you probably can, and it's in a big building, so you probably can have a lot of people in per building, so it's kind of a way to get people close to housing, but it's kind of like an in-between. It sounds like, it almost sounds like the garrison system in WoW, where, you know, it's a little customizable. You can do some things with it, but, you know, overall, it's like a, you know, you go out there and chill, but you're mostly living out in the world, doing other things.
Yeah, definitely. I think maybe, I don't know, I was kind of debating, because, you know, they mentioned apartments as being... You know, like, they can be potentially, you know, a lot bigger. They can also be kind of small. So I think, like, static housing and apartments, like, I don't know, they sound almost a little bit interchangeable to me. Maybe static housing is a little bit, I don't know, because it does say you can own potentially, like, your room, like, in a cottage or wherever, like, in static housing, but it does say you can only rent for an apartment. So I don't know if that's maybe a factor in. And again, there is no tier system, but I think, as you mentioned, like, apartments may end up be beyond inns, which are kind of smaller, maybe like the main way, you know, the regular player is going to kind of interact and have quote unquote their space. It does mention that you can have like pots in there to grow plants and furniture items. I don't know if I saw anything mentioned about crafting benches and things like that. So maybe that is more of a limiting factor of an apartment. Again, maybe it could be more for like storage, but having a little bit extra by being able to grow some things and things like that. I guess we could talk a little bit too about like the permission system, which is kind of interesting before we move on to freeholds. Because one of the things they talk about is, again, maybe not everyone having access to housing. So I'm curious if like their main, I guess, bypass to making sure like potentially everyone can kind of have access to some place they can call home will be the permission system. And I'm curious how like flexible that's going to be. Like if, you know, you and I share like an apartment, like, well, I'd be able to store my stuff there. And like, what happens, like, you know, cause you always got to worry in MMOs. But like, you know, what happens if, you know, can someone take my, you know, my stuff? Cause you're allowing me to live there. So I'm curious to see how that will kind of play out. Cause obviously when we're talking about a video game, right, we know things go down. Like you might, you know, be invited to join someone's, you know, family and, or maybe you're in their family and you're in their apartment and you have your stuff in there and then they just take your stuff and kick you out. So I'm curious if there's any like kind of safeguards to the permission system as well for those things as well.
Yeah. Well, I would hope there would be, because, you know, if there's no safeguards, this is going to be abused like crazy. You know, people go to crazy lengths to abuse things that aren't protected, like making literally buying another account to literally sabotage things has happened in other games. So, but this is a kind of cool system. Like you said, you can share access to a house, or maybe you personally can't afford one, but you're really good friends with someone in the game or your guild or whatever, and you can, you know, split the cost or even split it multiple ways, like up to a couple people or even more, depending on how far they let you go with it. So I do think this is a good idea, because maybe you have an apartment, I have a house, but you want benches, and this is a good way to kind of get around that, I guess. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, no, definitely. It'll be kind of interesting to see how it all, you know, I'm imagining testing will come into play. You know, players will definitely voice their opinions if, like, there's going to be, you know, opportunities for griefing and things like that. So, you know, I assume, like, hopefully if you're joining people's families and, like, things like that, maybe there's a little bit of a, I don't know, like a payment or, like, something you have to, like, do to make it a little bit more, I don't know. Maybe there's a downside to it, you know, being in a bigger family, similar to like how guilds, the bigger guilds you have, you know, the less you can kind of like progress and like have more skills and things like that. So those are certainly options and things to be thinking about as we get into Alpha 2 testing for sure. The next thing, and this is a pretty big one. There's actually a pretty big developer showcase on this last year, I believe, and that is freeholds. Freeholds are large size player housing plots of land within nodes, starting at level three node. And again, if you're not familiar with like the node system, we did do a video and a podcast on that, so definitely worth looking back at if you need to. They can be purchased from other players or from deeds by completing a quest and by winning an auction. So these aren't necessarily just handed out for free. There is kind of like a requirement to that. I'm curious, like, what your thoughts on that are. The fact that it's, I mean, the quest probably, I mean, I don't know what the quest is, but assuming it's not too crazy or too challenging, but like the fact that you potentially can only get a freehold maybe by, you know, trading a deed with a person, you know, by a player, but also or winning an auction. So it's really up to like how much maybe money you have as well to get these freeholds.
So this is interesting. Hopefully, I mean, I'm not opposed to how acquiring a freehold deed is, but it sounds like the Lord's Quest, which gets you the worthiness to own a freehold, sounds like it's going to be pretty difficult from what the wiki is saying. So, I mean, I really have to see how this all plays out before I can really give a good opinion on it. But freeholds as an idea are really cool, and I really want to see how players interact with them, since it's kind of like a player-run micro town, I guess.
Yeah, and we're gonna dig into a little bit, but there's a lot of options with freeholds too, which I think is probably the most exciting thing. You can kind of customize it to maybe what you want to get out of it. One thing I didn't mention too, that I should probably, is, you know, because obviously you think of like an auction system, like, oh, like can't somebody just buy up all the, you know, the deeds and kind of have like a ton of freeholds. They're one per an account, I believe, is kind of the limiting factor, which, you know, it can be interesting. I know in Arcage, you know, we had like a guild and they would potentially, you know, they'd have people, you know, with multiple accounts and, you know, so they would kind of like abuse the system that way. And land was very limited as well in Arcage. So it was, you know, if you could have multiple accounts and having like people manage different accounts and things like that. So I'm curious if there's going to be things to kind of limit that, or I don't know if maybe, you know, these big massive like 300 person guilds, are they going to be able to have, you know, obviously it sounds pretty difficult and pricey to own a freehold and manage it, but, you know, with these mega guilds, will they be able to have, you know, like 300, you know, freeholds with, you know, all their members? So that's going to be something to kind of see how it goes too. Digging a little bit more to, again, some of the mechanics as well. You know, freeholds can occupy 1.5 acres in size, which is pretty decent. If you go back and watch that developer video, you'll kind of get a feel for the size of it. That, you know, they feel sizable but not massive at the same time. You know, as one of the things that you can do with this extra size and this size, like in your land, is you can have blueprints, which can then be constructed on your freehold to provide buildings that can do things like process resources or act as a business or provide like a home for a player, which I think sounds really exciting. And I think this is kind of like where the part of the customization option comes in that really excites me. So like if you have a freehold, maybe you're more focused on throwing down farmland, you know, maybe it's just a lot of farming and animals and crops and things like that, which I imagine can, you know, be sold as well as maybe used to do other things potentially as resources, you know, acting as businesses. I know you can put taverns on there and then you can kind of like do different things with the tavern. And I think that's probably the part that really interests me, is kind of that customization of your freehold and hopefully kind of being able to customize it to what you want to do, whether it's like crafting or whether it's just providing homes and or maybe even business for people that are coming by and visiting your freehold as well, which sounds really fun to me.
Yeah, it'd be really cool when you're just walking around the world and you're passing all these freeholds and you're like, you see a farm freehold, maybe you see like a crafting freehold, you see a business freehold and all these kind of cool things. And it kind of just makes the world feel, like I said, more organic and not not like theme parky like World of Warcraft. It's just it's just gonna be cool just walking around, just seeing the world change because of these really cool systems like Freeholds and all these other systems they have. And since this is player driven, again, this is another just I'm really interested to see, like I said, the dev video was really good on this, and I'm really interested to see how players actually in Alpha 2 once we get whenever this, I mean, it might be there at start, it might not be, but when people start dropping Freeholds all over the place and just see how the world builds organically is going to be probably one of the coolest things about this.
Yeah, and I really do hope there is kind of a lot of customization. There's like benefits to having different types of buildings. Obviously, I think the highest level of processing of materials, crafting materials, can only take place on a Freehold. But I'm curious to see how it all balances out. I remember, Star Wars Galaxies is really interesting because there was a lot of places where you could throw down houses. And really the main thing you were doing in Star Wars Galaxies was like throwing down a house, or potentially you could throw down like factory and like stuff like that. So, but it always looked, sometimes it was a little bit immersion breaking because you'd just be like, you're on Tatooine, and then there's like these like, just back to back to back packed in like sardines, like all these different houses. So sometimes like that could be a little bit jarring, but I do think kind of getting to see the Freeholds visually, right, I think it will hopefully be a little bit better of an experience, because again, it's not just going to be a house, it's not just going to be building or crafting. There's probably going to be like a variety of different things, whether it's like farmland, whether it's areas for chickens, cows, whatever, to kind of run around. So I think it'll be really fun to kind of walk through and see how it all kind of builds on itself, for sure.
Yeah, I'm just interested in like what kind of structures, like maybe like people have different kinds of structures, just the amount of depth this system has, and yeah, then how it changes the actual world around you is going to be probably the most interesting. And I do love the fact that this is customized player, like you can have your own farms and stuff, but it's also just like, it's just cool how it makes the world feel more alive. Like you'd be walking past Freeholds that weren't there before, like when you logged in or and stuff like that. So just seeing the world grow and evolve, and the server, it feels like a real MMO to me. What, like, organic, the game's growing, you see the world building out. That's what I like to see from an MMO, and Freeholds seem to be a big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of digging a little bit into some of the customization and options you mentioned, we'll just kind of briefly touch on. Freeholds are also supposed to have progression paths, which, again, that's kind of a word I hear thrown around a lot from the Ashes, which I think the best way is kind of like a skill tree or like a level up system, like so you can actually advance Freeholds, and with it you can unlock new bonuses and new abilities. And again, this is I think the thing that really excites me too, is again just an extra level of customization. Not only the buildings that you're getting to put down and like the decisions you make of, all right, do I want more farmland, do I want to have this crafting station, those are going to make a lot of like fun customization decisions. But also the fact that there's potentially going to be Freeholds that give you options and new abilities, and you can kind of level them up to what you want it to be. So if you truly just want, all right, I want maximum like farming, and I could probably get bonuses for that, I think that's going to really add kind of a level of customization into like the overall economy as well, where you can start to see people like customizing and really digging into certain parts of the games that they're more interested in as well.
Yeah. It's just a great system, and I just can't wait to see how this plays out. Like,
yeah,
I need to see this in person ASAP, because I honestly think Freeholds is probably one of the coolest things about Ashes so far that I've read about. And like I said, just the cool things you can do with it, I just can't wait to see it play out. I'm just like, this is the most hyped thing I am for this game.
Yeah, it's definitely like within my top five of things I'm most excited for in terms of features. I'm really interested to see how it looks, how it feels, the customization, all those different types of things. Now that we kind of got you excited for Freeholds, I did want to read a quote from Stephen Shreve, creative director, that maybe will damper your spirits a little bit, but it is interesting. So I'm just going to go ahead and read the quote here from Steven. The idea is that we're not reserving Freeholds for the top 10% of levelers. we're reserving fields for the top 10% across the multiple different play paths that exist within the game. And this spreads out that ownership across different play styles. And so there's two things. Like, I think the thing that maybe sticks out to me immediately, and you can definitely kind of chime in here too, but like the fact that it sounds like, and I assume this is maybe server-wide, that maybe only the top 10% of people on the server, again, through multiple play styles, will be able to have a freehold, which is not really much. So that's a little scary, I think. I don't know if you feel the same or how you feel about it too, but
It really depends on how many players per server there are. From what I heard, again, I don't know. From what I heard, it's 10,000 players per server. So that would be, what, about 1,000 people can own a freehold?
Yeah.
I mean, I am conflicted on this. Obviously, they throw these ideas around to get feedback. So, I mean, they're going to have a way to not only get the system in people's hands, but also, since everyone can't have it, there's got to be ways to kind of limit who can get it, which kind of sucks. You kind of want everyone to have these kind of tools. But, I mean, I guess if I'm not intentionally opposed to this idea, but as long as everyone can at least, you know, maybe if you don't get a freehold, but you can, you know, your friend does, or you know someone who does, and a lot of people can benefit from it, even if you don't own the freehold. I'm not totally opposed to this, but again, it's like, we have to see how this plays out in Alpha 2, and if it plays out bad in Alpha 2, are they going to change it, and what will they change it to? I mean, it's an interesting idea, but again, it's one of those things we just have to see how it plays out. Because you know how players are, they will, it, once you get things into players' hands, it doesn't always work out the way you want it to.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit conflicted too about it for sure. Like, on one hand, obviously I want a freehold, right? Because it looks really cool, you know, the customization, the ability to kind of access to, you know, specialization, and like, you know, freeholds are only going to be the best place to process, you know, crafting materials and things like that. And so not having access to stuff like that is going to probably, you know, it's probably not going to feel great. But I will say, and I'm not going to make a weird comparison here, and I know I bring up Star Wars Galaxies a good bit, but it kind of reminds me almost of, in Star Wars Galaxy, you know, only a very, very small portion of the entire community could become a Jedi, right? And that kind of mimics, you know, if you're familiar with Star Wars, right, at the time, you know, episodes 4 through 6, right, there weren't a lot of Jedi. And so I think the idea was, you know, we want to keep it realistic, right? There shouldn't be just Jedi running around. Now, they did end up changing this, I think for the worse later on, but, you know, it was very limited access to this, you know, something that I think a lot of people wanted to be. But for me, it like, and I was never a Jedi, so, and I played a pretty good bit, but for me, it was, you know, it kind of made it even more special in a way, because every once in a while, you know, you would see a Jedi walking around, and it just made it like, oh my gosh, it's like a Jedi, this is so cool. And obviously these are a little bit different systems, but I do kind of feel like, oh, like, it's going to make, you know, if you know somebody that has a freehold, or if you have access to a freehold through family or friend or whatever, it's going to make it that much more special versus everybody having it. So, like I said, on one hand, I do think a lot of people will be upset that maybe they won't have access, but I do also think that's kind of the purpose of some of the other things that we talked about, apartments, static housing, and inns. So, like, at least in some level, you're going to be able to access and hopefully kind of keep up in terms of, like, crafting and things like that. So, I don't know. Like I said, it will be a testing thing. It will be a community feedback thing. You know, is it going to end up where, you know, the big guilds all end up with freeholds and they're only giving it to their friends? And so will other people be denied? And I'm curious to kind of see how it all, you know, plays out. But on a whole, I don't mind there being kind of a limitation, but I do think a top 10% is definitely something that's a little like scary, where 90% of your players are being excluded from something. So, well, you know, 10% of people might own it, and then maybe, I don't know, 50% have access through family, friends, or who knows. It'll be kind of interesting to see how all the mechanics and how everybody has access to it and how that all really plays out within the game itself.
Yep. I agree, and it really just we have to see how it plays out, and hopefully, like I said, if it doesn't work, the developers take the feedback to fix whatever huge advantages it gives or disadvantages, like maybe having public freeholds so people don't feel left out. They're just not customizable, but you still have access to maybe some basic things like crafting benches and stuff. But I guess we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and it's good that too. I do like that Steven, he did say that it's not just going to be like the top 10% like levelers. It can also be top 10%, you know, across multiple play paths, I assume play styles. So maybe like if you're a business person, and, you know, and you're selling things, or if you're a crafts person and you know you're really good at that, then maybe you're going to have access to a freehold. Not just the people that are doing like PvE, PvP, whatever. It should hopefully be people too that are, you know, doing different things within the game as well.
I agree. I 100% agree. I mean, like PvPers should be able to get a freehold too. I mean, everyone should have a path forward.
Yeah, everyone should at least get a chance at it, whether or not they can or not. I don't know. And, you know, so that, like I said, I'm a little conflicted, you know, because I work a full-time job. A lot of people do. So is it going to be the people that, you know, don't have to worry about that are just going to have the freeholds or the mega guilds? Will everyone have a good fair shot at it? I guess we're just going to have to kind of wait and see. But yeah, so that kind of wraps up I guess our two main segments, kind of talking about some of the various types of player housing, as well as the freeholds, which sound really awesome. I can't wait to get a look at those and see what it looks like in game. I thought we could spend a little bit of time here because I think housing is a really big deal for both of us, maybe for different reasons. I know you, obviously, long-term WoW player. You never really had housing, a little bit maybe if you want to count garrisons, but like I don't know, what are you like looking forward to? What do you want from it? You know, what are you kind of hoping to get out of housing in Ashes of Creation as somebody that really for your main game nearly didn't really have access to it?
Well, I don't know if a lot of people remember this, but in the early WoW days on the WoW website, there was a developer coming soon section or under development section. I don't remember what it was, but this was like in 2005 or way back. And then you might be able to find it like on Internet Archives or Time Machine or something. But there was a little section there that said player housing was coming, and that was 20, you know, like 19, 18, 18, 19 years ago. So Blizzard has been thinking about it for that long and we still don't have it. So player housing to me kind of feels like a way to express yourself outside of just wearing armor. Because like in WoW, the best way to express yourself is like, oh, you wear this kind of transmogged armor. So I guess, you know, that's the best way you can express yourself. I mean, I guess in character customization, but in WoW, it's really not that deep, unfortunately. So the best way you can customize yourself in WoW is, like I said, armor sets. You farm out and you mix and match whatever, or you wear a specific set. Whereas player housing, I feel like in Dark Age of Camelot took it to the next level. It's like you could buy this. It's like, oh, this guy owns a real big house, and he's got, oh, you walk into his house, he's got like a trophy of a dragon on the wall that he killed, and like merchants and all types of customized furniture placed where he wants. It really is a good way to express yourself much more than armor sets, in my opinion. And it's just a really cool place where you can hang out and like casually craft and not always feel like you have to be grinding. I guess you could call it grinding, but it's like a more relaxed grinding, kind of like fishing in World of Warcraft where you just right click all day. So that's what housing kind of means to me. It's a way to have fun and interact with a game while expressing yourself and your taste in the game while just playing the game.
Yeah, no, I mean that sounds awesome. Yeah, you know, and I come from again playing a lot of different MMOs. Two of my biggest were Arcage and Star Wars Galaxies, games that both did have housing, and I think maybe that's part of the reason why like I never was like, you know, never got super long term invested into World of Warcraft because it just never had housing. And like to me, it's really important. And I'll admit, I'm never the biggest, like, oh, like, I want to have a house so I can, like, you know, decorate it and furnish it, you know? Like, I'll do some of that stuff when I get, like, downtime or I'm bored or, you know, whatever. But, like, for me, it's always been, like, you know, does it serve like a purpose? Is there like, you know, a function for it? Is it mechanical? Because again, that just adds like another thing for me to do, you know, and I'm not always like, I love PvP, but there are definitely times where I want to step away and I want to do something else. So like the appeal for me, I think, is definitely, especially with something like a freehold or even like, you know, an apartment where you can have like a little garden or, you know, static housing. Like that's a big appeal for me, you know, and getting into like the crafting system. And I think that's like what makes me most excited for it, is again, that they're embracing heavily, not just in, you know, like combat, PvE and PvP, but like there is going to be, for those people that are not interested, opportunities, you know, through the housing system to kind of get engaged into, you know, different things, whether it's, you know, crafting or whether it's like, you know, decking your house out with furniture, which is again supposed to have like some potential mechanical benefits on top of it. And I think, again, what I learned from, especially from Star Wars Galaxies more than anything, is that like housing, or things that are beyond PvE, PvE combat and things like that are massively popular. Like, you know, if you were there in like peak Star Wars Galaxies, like you would go into a cantina and like there would be like dozens of people. And there was tons of cantinas across multiple worlds, like, you know, as entertainers, and they would like, you know, play music and dance, and like there's obviously mechanical benefits to like going in there and watching them, but like people would just go in there to like have fun and like socialize. And the same is true for, you know, there was a whole artisan crafting class in Star Wars Galaxies. Like people would just be crafters, and like that's what they love to do, and that included like having housing, you know, selling your wares like through your house and things like that. So I think it's just going to add like a complete another layer and level to do something beyond just like, you know, the traditional stuff that I think a lot of people, you know, raiding, PvE, you know, PvP and stuff like that. So I think that's what really why housing is so important, because it's something, not only something else to do, but it gives you an opportunity to have some different experiences, I think, on top of that as well.
Yeah, I just want to add one thing on that. It also feeds into the new meta of gaming, or not meta of gaming, but a new type of gaming that's kind of blown up. It is called cozy gaming, kind of like Stardew Valley, where you just go in the game, you chill out, you know, you type in chat, or, you know, it's just cozy, it's relaxed gaming. It's like, oh, I'm sitting in my house, I'm doing my crops, I'm doing my craft, and I'm just chilling. I'm just like, I'm being cozy, and I'm this, you know, I'm gaming, but I'm not, you know, going crazy. I'm just sitting here having fun and relaxing. So that's another thing I wanted about player housing. It's just, it could add to that cozy factor of like, I log in, I don't feel like doing raid bosses, I don't feel like doing PvP, I just want to craft at my freehold, chill out, talk to my friends, log off for the night, and then maybe tomorrow I'm gonna go kill a raid boss, or, you know, do some PvP. You know, it's just one of those, another just cozy gaming, which I think is not a bad thing.
No, I totally agree. I love that element, being, because I love cozy games. And like, I've anyone that knows me knows that like my number one genre that I love is like first person shooters. Or like, I love battle royales. don't hate me for it. You know, I love games where there's like shooting and there's action and stuff like that. But like, I don't always feel like doing that, even though it's the main games that I play and the main things that I'm interested in terms of gaming. Like sometimes, you know, like, you know, Tarkov is a big game that I play, and Tarkov is like high stakes, a lot of investments. Sometimes it can just be like exhausting, because you're like constantly on edge about like losing your stuff. And so like I love, like, even when I'm playing Tarkov, to like have a game where I can just, like, you know, cozy game like that, where, hey, I could just go, you know, build something or craft or, you know, whatever. And so I'm hopeful, you know like you said, it'll be a great opportunity. You know, there's probably gonna be people that just want to do that, but, you know, for somebody like me that likes a lot of variety, I think, you know, going like, all right, we've been PvPing, you know, for 5 straight days, I need to just chill, or, you know, maybe I'm busy today, let me just hop in and I can do my farming, and so I can still feel like I'm progressing and, you know, contributing in some way, but not necessarily having to log in for, you know, hours and hours in order to do like a raid or, you know, do some PvP. So I think it's exciting. It's all something that I think will just add another layer, another element. The more types of you know, styles of gameplay they can support, I think the more the game is going to flourish long term for people that like aren't just interested in combat and PvP and all that as well.
Yeah, and it's also another way of people contributing to playing the game without actually, you know, doing all the other things. Like, it could also lead to, you know, a whole bunch, I mean, a lot of people could just log on and just do this kind of stuff in crafting and not really do anything else, and it could add to the game in itself, like since it's a player run economy, these people could have a huge impact on the game overall. So it's going to be really cool, I think. Just, yeah. You know, people who play Ashes of Creation, but like don't really PvP, don't really PvE. They craft, they build their house, and they enjoy the game, and they participate like in the economy only. And I think that's a cool option to be able to play the game.
Yeah, and it all contributes too, potentially, you know, when you have like a player run economy, like Ark. Like I played Ark with people that like they did not want to PvP, you know, they did not want to build, you know, they didn't want to like do anything, but they loved like taming dinos and breeding dinos, and like that was their whole thing, and like, you know, it was, you know, something that like maybe I didn't like doing. And so, you know, having like those people was like massively helpful. And even though they weren't kind of, you know, quote unquote contributing, you know, in a way like, oh, PvP and like fighting and all that stuff, it was still massive help to have people doing other things like in the background that were just really interested in that, or people that would just, you know, do gathering, right? That can all kind of contribute too. And so I think that's really important too, is it kind of it all contributing towards some like collective, whether it's like in Ashes, maybe like, you know, the person that just likes farming, you know, maybe they're selling that, or maybe it's used in crafting material, you know, whatever. So like it all kind of contributes, and it's all powerful and important to whatever the main goal is as well too.
Yep. And hopefully people who just, you know, don't do the other parts of Ashes can at least maybe level up doing stuff like this. So I'm very interested to see how it plays out. That's all I can really say.
Absolutely. I think it's gonna be a good time. I'm excited for it. Player housing truly is like one of the big things I'm definitely looking forward to.
Oh, for sure.
Alrighty, and that kind of wraps up today's episode on player housing. Hopefully you enjoyed. If you enjoyed this one, well, get ready for next week. We're going to be doing an overview of the classes systems in Ashes of Creation. So, not going to be doing a super deep dive, because obviously there's a ton that goes into like the different classes. We might save that for later, but just kind of give an overview of like some of the different classes and like some of the systems related to classes within Ashes of Creation. So, look forward to that. If you enjoyed, we are, of course, available now on YouTube. Please, if you prefer to listen there, check it out. If you do, subscribe, obviously, so you can get more updates. We usually are planning to go live. I shouldn't say live. We're planning to upload a new episode every Saturday on YouTube as well as other platforms. Definitely like the video if you did enjoy it. It does mean a lot for the algorithm. And comment if you want to, you know, see us talk about anything specific next, or if you just want to comment on the video itself. If you're interested as well, join the Discord, which can be kind of found in any of the descriptions below. And again, if you're listening to on any podcast service, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, all that good stuff, please leave us a review as well. We'd love to get your feedback as well. Or again, if you want to leave some of that feedback or those questions on Discord, we'd love to have them. So thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And we will definitely see you next time.
See you next week.